faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right, welcome. Glad you guys are with us. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. We worked right through it, but would you expect any less? We started out at 12:30, to be honest. 12:30. Started out at 12:30. There we go. 12:30 on Thanksgiving Day with our Thanksathon, and ran until about 9 o'clock, 9:30 Thanksgiving night, and then back up Friday morning. Started at noon, ran to about 9:30 Friday night with our Thanksathon, and then did the same thing on Saturday. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So anyway, we covered a lot of ground, a lot of great interviews. I don't know, probably interviewed 30 plus people. Leo Holman was in studio. Annie Cyrus was in studio. And you can find all those interviews at frankspeech.com, frankspeech.com or wvwtv.com, wvwtv.com. All those interviews I did are archived there. I interviewed a lot of people about a lot of issues. We covered it all. That's what Annie said. We covered it all. National security, biblical worldview issues, so many major issues of the day we covered. International news, Iran, China. Of course, China's erupting today. We're going to be joined, we hope, at 1:30 Central by David Zong. He's an expert on China. He's from China. He's an expert on China. He'll join us to talk about what's happening in China. I guess the people of the world long to be free. Apparently, the military in Brazil is not going to allow for a Marxist revolution in Brazil. We'll get into that more later in the broadcast. The folks of Iran, they want freedom. They're rising up. The people of China, they want freedom. They're rising up. The American people, not so much. They're pretty well asleep. I hate to tell you, a big chunk of America, folks, has checked out. Apathy and passivity is ruling the day in America with a big chunk of the nation. Now you say, not us. No, not us. But we're not the majority, apparently, anymore in America. A lot of people become very passive and apathetic. A lot of people that were once engaged after the 2020 election have told me to my face, I'm done. I'm out. I'm not watching you anymore or conservative TV or talk radio. It's pointless. And they've checked out. They've surrendered. Well, I don't know. Maybe the American people will fill the streets and demand liberty and freedom like they are in Iran, like they are in Brazil, like they are in China. Once Americans get a good dose of what tyranny is really like, they just haven't had a dose of it yet. You would have thought the COVID-19 was enough, but nope. For a lot of them, they went along. I think a lot of them like to wear the mask. Went out for a steak and baked potato yesterday, the family, after we worked Thursday, Friday, Saturday like we did. And so we went out for baked potato and steak. And I was sitting there looking at some folks in the restaurant, had their face diapers around their neck. You know, so when they were sure to get up from the table, they put their face diaper on. They sat there shoving the food in their face with no problem without their face diaper. But as soon as they got up, they put that face diaper back on and walked out. I thought, wow-wee. And of course, now the government apparently is wanting more of this. More social distancing and mask mandates coming back. There's a lot to get to in the news. We'll get to it. But hey, first, I want to play something for you. Many of you know we worked for a year. It was about a year in the making for a full concert at Lake of the Ozarks, Christmas concert. Yes, Christmas in October, the middle of October. It was a full Christmas concert. Oh, well, let me mention this real quick. In the news today, breaking news today, Mike Lindell announced he is running for chairman of the RNC. Mike Lindell has announced he is running for chairman of the RNC. Now, that is something that is voted on by 168 people. A lot of us are getting an education as to how one becomes the chairman of the RNC. You don't get to vote for it. I don't get to vote for it. Unless you are one of the 168 that does, that happens to be listening to the broadcast. Everybody else, we get no vote. It's 168 people that vote, three from each state, as I understand it. And then your executive committee, your chairman, your co-chairman, and I guess there's one other person. And then from each state, and then you have your executive committee of the RNC. So 168 people. And of course, the issue is, are we going to continue to have lots and lots and lots of money raised by the Republican National Committee and claim they're going to look into voter fraud. But what have they really done? And what have they done with all that money? What have they really done? And what have they done with all that money? I think Roger Stone had it right the other night when I was interviewing him, and he said there needs to be a lawsuit by one or two donors, so they have standing. One or two donors to the RNC needs to sue the RNC, and so they get the books opened up and find out where has all the money gone. Remember the old song, Where Have All the Flowers Gone? Where has all the money gone? Where has all the money gone? That's a good question. But breaking news today, Mike Lindell has announced he is running to challenge the current chairman of the RNC, Roma Downey. Roma Downey, that's touched by an angel. What's her name, Lona? Oh, Lona. What's wrong with me today? What? Ronna McDaniel? Yeah. All right. So anyway, back to where I was. So we, about a year in the making, was the Ozarks Christmas concert, the middle of October, so we could film it with five cameras and post-edit it. All the orchestration was custom done with the team that I work with. And all the vocals, background vocals, it's a big, huge production. And then, of course, filming it, post-editing it. And as you probably know, those of you who are there, of course, the rest of you may be from seeing some of the spots about the concert. Off on the right and left of the stage, stage is center, and the right and left of the stage is a huge screen on the right and the left. And then as I'm singing, I have all of this video footage playing that took hours and hours and hours to put together that is telling the story of what I'm singing about. So whether it's Sweet Little Jesus Boy, O Come All You Faithful, O Little Town of Bethlehem. So it's a huge production. And so I'm thankful to say it was released. We released the full concert on Thanksgiving Day as part of our Thanks-a-thon. And you know what we got? We got a lot of people emailing and texting and calling and leaving voicemails saying how much they appreciated the concert because they were alone on Thanksgiving Day. And the music was comforting to them. Help me out here, Logan. And it was comforting to them. So a lot of people thanking us for that, and we really appreciate that. We also, at the end of the 40 minutes, I sing for 40. At the end of the 40 minutes, I have a 20-minute clear description of the gospel. 20 minutes of what is the gospel, why I'm a Christian, a clear defense of the gospel. Many people said, is that going to be online too? Will that be in the DVD as well? Absolutely. In fact, the full concert is online now as of last night at WVWTV.com. You can watch it free of charge. It's a ministry of our WVW Broadcast Network and our foundation. Yes, you can get the DVD. You can purchase the CD. You can purchase the DVD if you want. But we also put the whole concert online for free. WVWTV.com as of last night. Top right-hand corner if you're on a computer. If you're on a smartphone, you might have to scroll down to the bottom of the page. I don't know why. But top of the page right now, right-hand corner, WVWTV.com. Do you know someone that likes traditional Christmas music? Fully orchestrated, maybe share this with them, because guess what they're going to get at the end? The gospel. Well, yeah, absolutely going to get the gospel. All right, let me share with you just one song from it. This one happens to be my favorite of the whole concert, Sweet Little Jesus Boy. And then we got a lot of topics to get to, so I want to though at least share this with you.
then when you were dying. Just seems like we can't do right. Look how we treated.
And that, again, is something you can watch the whole concert free of charge. And they're all like that, fully orchestrated, all traditional songs. Sweet Little Jesus Boy, O Holy Night, O Little Town of Bethlehem, The Lord's Prayer, all fully orchestrated like that. So I hope you appreciate it. I hope it ministers to you. Hope it encourages you. And again, I hope you'll share it with people that like that kind of music, because at the end, they're going to get a good, clear 20-minute defense of the claims of Christ. Why I'm a Christian. How we know Jesus was God. Jesus is God. The deity, Emmanuel, God with us. So a lot of people are asking us, again, as I said earlier, are you going to have that 20 minutes in there? Of course. And the reason they're asking is they want to give the DVD to family and friends. Hope they'll watch it. Or I guess now they can share the link. You just go to our website, share the link with them, and hopefully they'll watch it and they'll hear a good, clear gospel message. No doubt about that. All right, we come back. We're going to get to the news. We have a lot of news to get to, including a potential railroad strike December 9th that could have devastating impact, according to many experts, on our already faltering U.S. economy. It would take maybe up to close to 500,000 semi-trucks a day to replace what's carried on the railroads of our nation. That and China is in, they're in protest over there, rightfully so, the largest since Tiananmen Square. A lot to get to, including a guest joining us who is from China at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back after this break. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Thank you for joining us. All right, we got a lot of news to get to. Here we go. They're rising up in China. They do not want to live under the Chinese communist regime, but Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, well, he loves China. Have you heard what Klaus Schwab recently said about China? Yeah, listen to what he had to say. Here it is, Klaus Schwab.
I respect China's achievements, which are tremendous over the last over 40 years since the opening up and policy and reform policy came into action. I think it's a role model for many countries, but I think also we should leave it to each country to make its own decision what system it wants to adopt. And I think we should be very careful in imposing systems. But the Chinese model is certainly a very attractive model for quite a number of countries.
Really? The Chinese model is an attractive model, says Klaus Schwab, but we don't want to force anything on people. This is a guy that says his organization says by 2030 you'll own nothing and be happy. But we don't want to force it on you. We want you to love your servitude. We're going to actually put you in such dire straits financially. What's that, Logan? We're going to put you in such dire straits financially that you'll cry out, beg for a government to step in. We don't want to force it on you. We want you to want it. We want you to beg us. Beg us for food. Beg us to provide you with food and safety and shelter. You'll own nothing and be happy because you begged us and we gave it to you because the capitalist system that was corrupt from the beginning collapsed. And you guys are all suffering from the evil capitalist system, but we'll save you. We'll save you. You'll be begging for us to provide you with food and shelter. And at the end of the day, you won't have to worry. You won't own anything. And you're going to be happy because you won't have to worry about getting out there in the dog-eat-dog world and getting a job and paying bills and clawing and scratching your way into the free market system to succeed. That's a horrible way for anyone to live. And you will have learned your lessons. And you'll come to us and you'll beg us to provide for you. And we will. We'll provide for you. You won't even have to worry about owning anything. We'll own it all and just provide it to you. You'll be happy. So no, we don't want to force it, he says. Yeah. You believe it? But China's a great model. He really likes China. Klaus Schwab. Well, what's going on in China? Let's go back a little bit. Even CNN, if they want to call it fake news, even CNN knows this to be true. China builds massive COVID-19 quarantine camps for 4,000 people as outbreak continues. That was back in January 21st, 2021. Here's another one. Inside China's brutal quarantine camps where families are made to live in metal boxes in world's worst COVID lockdown. That was back in January of 2022, January 11th, 2022. And apparently, again, lockdowns over there are beginning and the people are rising up. They're not having it. They are not having it. In fact, let me take you over to worldviewreport.com. Worldviewreport.com. We put up a lot of new articles over there today. Chinese rise up against lockdowns. We're going to be joined by David Zong in just a little bit here about the 1:30 mark. Chinese rise up against lockdowns that elites advocate in the U.S. Protest over China's COVID control spreads across the country. Protests erupt across China, an unprecedented challenge to Xi Jinping's zero COVID policy. These are all new headlines, folks. Clashes as COVID protesters protest flares in China. Look at all of these, folks, for those watching by television. Look at all that. Yeah, we won't go with the audio. It's so loud. But whoop, I just hit a wrong button. But anyway, it's still accomplishing the purpose. Look at all these people. For those of you listening by television, excuse me, listening by radio, it looks like, I would say thousands of people. They're all wearing their mask. I don't know why. I mean, maybe actually wearing the mask for them right now is helping them conceal who they are because of the threats from the Chinese government. But I've got an article over at worldviewreport.com that has embedded in it all these video clips of what's happening in China. People, as we've said, are crying out for freedom in Brazil, in China, in Iran. But Americans are kind of asleep, aren't they? Americans are kind of sleepy. They just haven't had enough yet of communism. But they'll get their fill, and then they're going to understand. In fact, speaking to that issue, I thought I had an article here, maybe not, about the military in Brazil, but I guess I don't have it. Maybe I didn't post it. I just saw it. It looks like the military in Brazil might be about to leave Bolsonaro in power. But there we go. Here's another article. We dealt with this quite a bit. If you go to worldviewreport.com, it's called the G20 Bali Leaders Declaration. We dealt with this quite a bit over the weekend. This is taking you right to whitehouse.gov, the government's website, the White House website. Notice it was posted November 16th. So, not too many days ago, folks. November, this month. And it's got a bunch of paragraphs. We're going to go down to paragraph number 22 real quick. I know for those of you that watched over the weekend, you've heard this, but there's a lot of people listening today that have not heard this. And it's important that we help people understand what's coming. That's what they, one of the reasons they listen to us is to understand the trends. Well, if we go down to paragraph 22, if you go to whitehouse.gov, or you're going to find it easier if you just go to worldviewreport.com and look for the link on the G20 Bali Declaration. Paragraph number 22 talks about, we recognize that the extensive COVID-19 immunization is a global public good, and we will advance our effort to ensure timely, equitable, and universal access to safe, affordable, quality, effective vaccines, therapeutics, and diagnostics. What they're going to go on and talk about, folks, here is the World Trade Organization, tied back to the UN. The World Trade Organization. They're going to talk about the World Health Organization, which is dominated by China, and by Bill Gates, according to numerous reports. And they state, the White House states, we encourage sharing of pathogen data in a timely manner on a shared and trusted platforms in collaboration with the World Health Organization. Now, you go to paragraph 23, they go on to talk about mRNA vaccine technology and transferring that technology around the world. They go on to talk about, well, we acknowledge the importance of a shared technical standards. We acknowledge the importance of shared technical standards and verification methods. Like what? Show me your papers. Verification methods to verify you've been vaxxed. Under the framework of the IHR, this is going to be this international treaty that was in 2005, which they're about to update, it looks like, to facilitate seamless international travel, interoperability, and recognizing digital solutions and non-digital solutions, including proof of vaccinations. There you go, folks. You thought this was over? No. This was just posted on the White House website of the Biden regime, November 16th, 2022. And they are telling you, we're not done. We're going to make sure everybody gets their COVID shot. And we're going to put in digital solutions, including proof of vaccinations. We support, listen, continued international dialogue and collaboration on the establishment of trusted global digital health networks as part of the efforts to strengthen prevention and response to future pandemics that should capitalize and build on the success of the existing standards and digital COVID-19 certificates. So, folks, they want to build on the existing COVID-19 certificates. They want it to be a digital system. They're not done with us, folks. They are not done. They want us all marked like cattle. Now, they're doing all this under the guise of a pandemic, right? But notice how this fits perfectly with the standards of Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. Look at paragraph number 24 in the whitehouse.gov Bali Leaders Declaration. Paragraph 24, the COVID-19 pandemic has accelerated the transformation of the digital ecosystem and digital economy. We recognize the importance of digital transformation in reaching the SDGs. Now, most people wouldn't have a clue what SDGs are. That's the Sustainable Development Goals. And whose wife is heavily involved with the UN and an organization inside the UN promoting the SDGs? That would be Klaus Schwab's wife. How neat this is all working out. And who does Klaus Schwab admit on his own World Economic Forum website mentored him? He admits he was mentored by Maurice Strong, the head of the Earth Summit, who worked for the UN. Maurice Strong, who said, isn't the only hope for the planet that the industrialized civilizations collapse? Isn't it our responsibility to bring that about? Maurice Strong, who was bemoaning air conditioning and meat and eating of meat, who had a Buddhist garden, contemplative garden in his on his Colorado ranch, bemoaning air conditioning and meat and fossil fuels. That was Maurice Strong, who Klaus Schwab says mentored him. We have it in writing from his own World Economic Forum website. Remember what the World Economic Forum say in their own little commercial and video? Meat will be a special treat. Meat will be a special treat. You're going to be eating synthetic meat. You're going to be eating cricket chips. You're going to be drinking cockroach milk. Now, those of you who think I'm joking, you're either new to the show or you haven't tuned in enough to my other programming where we have literally told you about the cricket chips. The big plant in Illinois apparently making cricket chips. And you haven't heard about the cockroach milk, making milk from cockroaches. I'm not joking, folks. And this is going to destroy farmers, destroy ranchers. That's their goal, right? Because we don't want the cows emitting gas. We don't want them urinating. All of this, they say, is horrible for the environment. Got to get rid of the cattle, get rid of meat. Meat will be a rare treat, says the World Economic Forum. And where did Klaus learn all this? Largely from his own admission, from Maurice Strong. Now, COVID Leader Declaration, paragraph 24, we recognize the importance of digital transformation and reaching the sustainable development goals. That's Agenda 21. That's Agenda 2030, as it's called now. Something Tom DeWeese and myself and Jim Schneider of VCY America, we've all been talking about since it happened. The Earth Summit in Rio in 1992, and we all started talking about it right away. And it's taken the world, a lot of the world, a long time to catch up. But part of the Sustainable Development Goals, folks, is that every person in the world is numbered and counted. Did you know that? Every person in the world is to be numbered and counted. Now, how are we going to get people to do that? We're going to tie it to a plandemic, COVID passports, a digital economy, and then we're going to add social credit scores. Just like I wrote about in my book in 1995. Look how this is all connected. We acknowledge that affordable and high-quality digital connectivity is essential for digital inclusion and digital transformation. Go to the slide. While a resilient, safe, and secure online environment is necessary to enhance confidence and trust in the digital economy. So we're moving quickly to the digital economy, folks. We remain committed to further enable data free flow with trust and promote cross-border data flows. Yep, they're going to be sharing all kinds of information about us. Folks, this is the digital economy they keep talking about in this document. They're talking about the Sustainable Development Goals, COVID certificates, the ability to travel, and the international treaties, which we all talked about that. Earlier this year at the World Health Organization, the international treaties that would have the World Health Organization taking over the sovereignty of the U.S., well, it's back. We told you it was going away for a while because some nations are like, we don't want to do this in bits and pieces. We're for it. We're going to vote against it now because we really want this to come back in one big, gigantic piece. Well, apparently that's about to happen very soon. And it will have the World Health Organization under the U.N., deciding national laws for America and Americans. But sleepy Americans, well, they're not awake like they are in Iran and Brazil and China. They're going to get awake real soon. We'll be right back. We got David, Logan. All right, welcome back. Glad you are with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. I was just looking for any information I could find real quick on Brazil, the latest in Brazil. I'll see if I can find that before the broadcast is over. and what the military in Brazil is going to do. But we'll keep you posted on that if I can find something. I saw it earlier, and I thought I linked it, but apparently I didn't. Here's an article that's of interest real quick, particularly to a lot of the listeners on the VCY America radio network. Okay, we're going to go to David here in just a second. Here's a headline. Look at this from the Federalist. Wisconsin Children's Hospital is stacking its bench of chaplains with trans activists. Children's Wisconsin recent chaplain hires are full-fledged left-wing activists who twist religion to advance their preferred social Marxist policies. Wisconsin's premier children's hospital has had its fair of scandal, particularly with regard to religious liberty and leadership, but the bar just keeps getting lower. Children's Wisconsin is now hiring trans activists as chaplains and, quote, spiritual care interns, end quote. Children's staff members were first notified of such new hires when flyers were posted around the inpatient units advertising, quote, meet your new chaplain, Kate Neuendrop, end quote. The first tip-off to Neuendrop's beliefs about sexes was featured prominently on the posters, with a proclamation of her pronouns as, quote, she, her, his, she, her, hers, end quote, and those of her fiancé, a female who goes by, quote, they slash he, end quote. Quote, working in a pediatric hospital is a dream come true, end quote. Neuendrop is quoted on the flyer. Quote, I'm so excited to be working alongside everyone, and I'm pumped to be part of the team. Think of me as your friendly next-door neighbor, end quote. And it provides a copy of that flyer in the article. The poster is just your garden variety job announcement, but a deeper dive shows that Neuendrop's social Marxist views aren't confined to a push for preferred pronouns. The new chaplain is all in for transgender surgeries, abortion, and a rejection of religious teaching when it cuts against her personal comfort. Despite biblical Christian doctrine affirming the sanctity and humanity of life in the womb, the existence of only two distinct sexes, the immorality of same-sex relations in both the Old and New Testament, the new, quote, chaplain, end quote, proudly rejects all of this. Love Jesus, quote, love Jesus, be gay, get ordained, end quote, she wrote on Facebook in June with pictures of herself in rainbow garb. Wow. Children's Wisconsin chaplain. Well, I'm sure a lot of you are hearing about this in Wisconsin for the first time. By the way, Logan, do we have that clip of Mr. Rogers? All right, once you grab that, I saw a clip today of Mr. Rogers talking about a boy is a boy. When he grows up, he becomes a dad. And only the boy can grow up to become the dad. And the little girl is a little girl who grows up, and only she can be the mommy. I'm like, Mr. Rogers, I don't even think NPR could handle you today. I don't think National Public Radio could handle the Islamophobia, apparently, of Mr. Rogers. Or at least he certainly wasn't on board the transgender movement then, was he? Only a boy can grow up to be daddy, and only a little girl can grow up to be the mommy, as he sings a little song while he's feeding the fish there in the neighborhood. I saw that today. I'm like, wow, how the times have changed. All right, joining me now is David Zong. David, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Brendan, such a pleasure to be back.
Thank you for making time. I know you just got off your own podcast. I'm going to have everybody get a pen and paper saying write down where they can listen to your podcast. So as they're grabbing that, just tell our audience, for those who don't know, since you're joining us, I think for the first time on the 60 powerful Christian stations of VCY America. You're also on Lindell TV. You've been on here a few times with me, including in person in Dallas. But this is the first time for the VCY America Christian Radio Network audience to hear about you. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself, please.
Hey, everybody. I'm David Zhang, and I was a reporter and host with the Epoch Times, but I've now since moved to make my own show called State of Politics with David Zhang on YouTube and GunjingWorld.com. And so I cover things from the United States to China, who to whatever breaking news around the world. But most recently, we've been following the massive amounts of protest happening in China since last week's apartment fire in Xinjiang. So I'm happy to have Brennan come join me today, and we can talk about, or he invited me, but I'm here to talk about that.
Excellent.
In particular, I think it's a very big thing.
Where can people hear your show? What's the website?
You can go on YouTube. You can go on YouTube and you can search for State of Politics.
Okay.
You should be able to find me. If you want to watch my old stuff, I had a show called China Insider, and that was on the Epoch Times, Epic TV website.
Okay.
But my new stuff is on YouTube. Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's talk about this fire, because last night as I was doing some research on this, David, and I'm sure you've been able to verify these pictures. I'll see if I can find some real quick. But there was video footage of folks reportedly being the doors being barred and them being welded into their apartment complex, doors being wired so they couldn't open the door. And then apparently a fire broke out. And then because everything was locked down and welded and wired shut, they couldn't get out. And many of these people burned alive in China, correct?
Yeah, Brennan, can I text you a link to a video? Maybe you can play it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But,
so I'll just talk to you about this. Basically, it's a very common occurrence in current this zero COVID China situation where they would actually lock down your apartment door, like the front entrance to it and the fire escape doors with metal links like chains or with wires that they would wrap around the handles so that you couldn't get out, right? Even you could physically break the doors, you wouldn't be able to because just the sheer amount of force. Anyways, so the apartment that caught on fire was apparently because there was a electric power block that caught on fire, and somehow it quickly spread through like seven floors. But when people got downstairs, they couldn't get out through even the fire escape because they literally lock your entire building down. Everybody's told to stay home. And then the people that suffocated to death, including children, state officials report only 10 deaths. But according to some of the Uyghur residents there, we're thinking something like 40 plus people have died with 200 injured. So this is being underreported. Now, I'll tell you something really tragic, too. It took about 3.5 hours for the fire rescue to even extinguish the fire. The reason is, first, they couldn't get close into the community where this apartment complex is, because there had been fences set up along the streets to block anybody from leaving through different, you know, streets, whatever, to do their own thing. Second, when they got near the building, there were cars parked on the street because it hadn't been started for so long. The batteries died. And so the cars couldn't get moved out. And then they got close to the apartment building. Then they found out apparently they couldn't get close to the actual apartment. So the firemen couldn't even spray water until like 2 hours in. So that was tragic. And it's a bad thing all around.
Yeah. Here, in fact, I got your tweet. Thank you. I'll play this, Logan. We'll tell our listening friends by radio what's happening here. All right.
You want me to kind of just go through this?
Why don't you narrate this for me, please?
So this is a Beijing apartment. This lady here, she's walking down her hallway. She suddenly got told that her building's under lockdown. And then she's looking at this main door here, and she's trying to open it. And it's been sealed off, right, from the outside. So it's been locked, and she couldn't open the door. So she's, like, trying to open it, and she couldn't open it. She's telling us here, basically, saying that they do this every time they lock a building down. So now she's going to walk down the hallway, and she's going to go to her fire escape door, which I believe every apartment building has to have, even in China. And see, it's been locked as well. It says it's supposed to be kept shut. That's what the signs say. But they've actually put these chains around the lock so that, and you're not supposed to block fire exits, by the way, right? Everybody knows that. It's like your fire escape. They put chains around it so you cannot open this door either. So I was tweeting out today saying that people in China shouldn't just stock up on food. They should have wire cutters, they should have, you know, metal cutters, they should have hammers, they should have crowbars in their house, just anytime you live in an apartment building. So if there was a fire happening into this lady's apartment building, she couldn't get out. She'd be stuck inside if she didn't have a place. You know, people can jump out if you're on the first floor, second floor. But other than that, you're pretty much stuck. Like, all the doors that she's been trying has been locked shut. So that basically proves that the Chinese Communist Party has been lying about, you know, keeping the apartments unlocked.
And it also goes to the brutality of the Chinese Communist Party, does it not, David?
I mean, I'll give you a little history, modern history on China's worst fire disaster, which also happened in the same city in Xinjiang. Actually, a little bit north of this. It's a city called Karame. And in 1994, there was a fire in a theater. There was about I think 300 victims, 200, about 325 victims, 288 kids died in that fire. And here's the reason why, for all of you guys wondering. When there was found out that there was a fire in the theater, there was only three or four exits that they can go through. And the order was to let the Chinese Communist Party officials leave first. Okay, so there's this famous slogan in China, everybody keep quiet, let the officials or let the leaders go first. So all the Chinese old officials, the CCP people left, and then the kids and the teachers became the victims of, I think, one of the worst fires tragedy in China, actually. So it's a very controversial thing, and it happened in Xinjiang, the same province where this is taking place. So it's not the first time they've killed people because of bad policies. And so you can see now we're getting so many protests across China because of this, because people are fed up with lockdowns, with lies being told by the government. And this is like the nature of communism around the world, right?
Yeah.
Sacrifice is something that just basically comes, is as expendable as, you know, food or water. It's just like that. So,
well, David, I was saying earlier before you came on here that there's just too many Americans that are passive and apathetic and asleep or have deliberately checked out by their own admission to me. People I know who used to follow what's going on in our country, but after the 2020 election, they said, what's the point? It's all rigged. Mm-hmm. And they've checked out. So we have apathy, passivity, people giving up. We have a sleepy, Americans by and large are asleep. There's a certain percentage that watch this broadcast, listen to this broadcast, listen to you and your program, State of Politics, and they're wide awake. There are too many Americans, though, that are asleep or deceived or brainwashed. And yet we see in Brazil, they're rising up. 3 million or more coming out into the streets. In Iran, they're coming out in the streets. In China, they're coming out in the streets. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Americans have not endured real communism enough to understand what they do in Brazil and in China or the Islam of Iran. What say you?
I always give this example, you know, like in countries where they don't have the Second Amendment, which my understanding of it is really at the end of the day is to prevent the government from telling you what to do, right?
Right.
But in countries you don't have that, like in Iran or China, what can you do at the end of the day when you protest? You're going to be like in 1989 in China, the students that wanted democracy in Beijing, in Tiananmen Square, they were murdered for simply asking for a change, right? But you wouldn't see that in America, and you shouldn't see that in America because you have the Second Amendment. But to give up on it when, you know, so many millions of people around the world who don't enjoy that same fundamental set of freedoms that we have in this country, I think it should energize us even more to say that we should preserve our freedom no matter what the cost is and no matter how hard it is. And I think that's really the important part here is never give up, even if things look very difficult. I think when it's the worst time, that's when things will start to get better.
Before we got a break coming up here, but before you came on, we showed a video of Klaus Schwab praising the 40 years accomplishments, the last 40 years of China, and that China is a great model for the rest of the world. I'd like for you to comment on that when we come back, as well as what do you think is going to happen with these protesters in China? And Xi Jinping, he seems to have cemented his authority in China. We'll get to all that and more after this break. Don't go away. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back. I found it during the break. Breaking: Brazilian military stands with Bolsonaro is prepared to invoke Article 142 to save the nation. We'll work to get an update from one of our two Brazilian reporters that we go to, either Alan or Alan DeSantos. Joining me now is David Zhang. You can search him on YouTube and other places for his program, State of Politics, State of Politics. David, before we let you go, could you comment on Xi Jinping cementing his authority and power even more so? And what is going to happen to these protesters that are all over video?
So Xi, last month, basically got to do whatever he wants in China with the Communist Party. He got rid of all his oppositions. And the gist of it sounds like he's going to rule forever as the dictator in power, basically. And his first step is to tell people that he's not giving up on this whole zero COVID pandemic management system, whatever you call it. Basically, he's going to do everything he can to make sure that the people are under control. And it seems controlling them through the coronavirus is a great way. Fear factor, you know, stability, whatever, it all works really well in his favor. And what we're seeing now, I think, is very interesting, is people are in through these protests, many of them are calling for Xi to step down, but they're also calling for the destruction of the Communist Party. Because I think people recognize that no matter who's in power, as long as there's the Chinese Communist Party, the bad things will continue to happen, right? So because I think Xi Jinping is kind of like the result of the institutionalization of, you know, whoever goes into the party will always come out like somebody like Xi, or anybody before them, like a dictator, because they need to preserve power and they need to be absolutely ruthless. So in the end, it's really, we have to help the Chinese people somehow get rid of the CCP, not just Xi Jinping. I think that's the really the core of it. But these protests, I think, will not impact them as much, because once they feel threatened, that's when the tanks start rolling in, and they're not there yet.
And when do you think that will happen?
I think if people, right now, it's mostly university, college age kids that are coming out and doing the protests. When you start seeing the real things happen is when, you know, the older generation, the working class people, those people that are abandoning work, that when they come out on the street, that's when things get rough for the people, I think. Chinese Communist Party will do whatever they can to suppress them.
Are you warning that you're going to see the wholesale slaughter of people in China?
I don't want to see it. Really, I don't.
But no, I don't either. But are you predicting that that's probably what we're going to see?
I have a very pessimistic view about this. I don't think the protests, I think there will be more protests, but it won't be much bigger than what we're seeing now, because I think the majority of the Chinese people still are too afraid to come out and do whatever these students are doing now.
And what do you make of Klaus Schwab saying China should be the model for the world?
That's basically the success of the Communist Party exporting their dictatorship, if you think about it. They're telling the world that how great they are, and it's apparently getting audience with the World Economic Forum, which is basically trying to start a world government anyways. So it's like, in that respect, both of them are doing the same thing, trying to control people everywhere around the world. And Xi is really wanting to export, you know, this digital totalitarianism, this like social credit score system, the surveillance apparatus, all of it to rest of the world. And the World Economic Forum wants to do the same. Why not just sell whatever Xi is already offering? So that's why I think he's praising him, because they're really trying to work on the same thing. Just, you know, one is Western, one is Chinese. At the end of the day, they want the same thing.
Wow. David Zhang, he hosts a program called State of Politics. Put it into YouTube or any search engine. David Zhang, the last name is spelled Zhang. The H is silent, I'm assuming here. David Zhang. Yeah. And so just put into a search engine, David Zhang, Zhang, State of Politics, and you can find his show. David, as always, thank you for being with us and keeping us up to date on what's happening and giving us a good understanding from the inside.
Thank you so much, Brennan. Take care.
Appreciate your work. David Zhang checking in. Check out his show, won't you? All right, before we go, folks, we got a couple more things I want to hit on real quick, and that is something we covered in depth this weekend. That's the possible looming railroad strike December 9th. Here's an article I found over at one of the websites, Association of American Railroads. U.S. agriculture sector is the most efficient in the world, and railroad scale helps make that possible. For example, one rail car, folks, can carry enough flour for approximately 258,000 loaves of bread. Corn for the lifetime feeding requirements of 37,000 chickens. Corn for the lifetime feeding requirements of 37,000 chickens. Barley for making beer, which I'm not promoting that, but that's what it says. Soybeans for 415,000 pounds of tofu. Well, I could do without that. I also, if you go to Worldview, but it shows you how much is going on with our rail system. Now, think about all that's going on when it comes to coal. How are you going to fire those plants? You need coal. What happens with coal, folks? It gets shipped on the rail cars, right? Here's the Orange County Register. Looming rail strike could have massive impact on the U.S. economy. I cited this article on Saturday's broadcast, and this is very interesting because they're claiming that you would need almost a half a million trucks to make up, there it is, 467,000 additional trucks a day would be needed to handle everything railroads deliver. And this could cost us, the economy, $2 billion a day. $2 billion a day. And they go into all the problems. Chemicals run dry. Guess what you need, folks? You need chemicals for your local water treatment plant. So experts are now warning about not only a food problem and getting foods. Here's the article, the Orange County Register. Food fears. It would take about a week for consumers to notice shortages like cereal, peanut butter at the grocery store, said the vice president of supply chain for the Consumer Brands Association. About 30% of all packaged food in the U.S. is moved by rail. And then, of course, you have the issue of feeding the herds and getting the grain to the herds for farmers. And then, of course, you have the issue, as we already mentioned, coal to the fire plants, but chemicals to your water treatment plant. So you have water and food. Wow. Isn't this a perfect opportunity to manufacture another crisis, folks? Sure looks like it to me. I think it's been going on 3 years. They've been trying to negotiate and get this thing worked out. The deadline's coming up December 9th. Again, folks, maybe you want to check out my website, wvwtvstore.com. I've been promoting emergency food supplies since 2016. Got enough for my family for many months in 2013. And now I've got enough for my family for 2 years because I see what's happening. I hope you're prepared. You know, a wise man, a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge. Some of you need a budget for this over time. We've been trying to tell you for several years prior to the COVID. Well, really, for a long time, we're trying to tell you, get ready, budget over time, because folks, we're under their thumb. They know how to control us. You can check out the resources at my store, wvwtvstore.com, wvwtvstore.com. Stay tuned for Crosstalk with Jim Schneider. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.